From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Today is Election Day, and the midterm elections are unusually hard-fought this time. President Bush, fighting low approval ratings and unhappiness with the war in Iraq, was battling for his party, but Democrats were optimistic about significant gains. Voters are choosing 435 members of the House, 33 senators, and 36 governors.
At this hour, the polls were scheduled to close in some 25 states, including many with crucial contests that will help determine who controls the next Congress. We are projecting a few races. Democrat Ted Strickland is projected to win the governor's race in Ohio. Democrat Robert Byrd is keeping his Senate seat from West Virginia. We also project that Bernie Sanders will win the Senate seat from Vermont, and Republican Dick Lugar will win in Indiana. He was not opposed by a Democrat. We'll talk to NPR correspondents in Tennessee, Missouri, and New Jersey coming up. But first, to NPR's Mara Liasson here in the studio. And Mara, let's talk about some of the Senate races that we're most closely watching tonight, the ones that are really considered on the line here.
I would say the ones to watch tonight are Missouri, Virginia, Rhode Island, and Montana. Those are the ones that in the closing days of this campaign really showed almost dead heats between the Democrat and the Republican. If you assume that Pennsylvania and Ohio, Democrats had a lead in the polls there, and Tennessee, the Republican did, the remaining key races really are those four states. The president was in Missouri and Montana this week, campaigning hard for Republicans. Those are both red states where the Republican theory was that if they could just pour enough money in and use their effective get-out-the-vote operation, they could pull out a win. Virginia is a state that's really changing. It's getting to be more and more like a mid-Atlantic state, less like a southern state, more affluent, more diverse, more Democratic. And Rhode Island, of course, has the distinction of being a very blue state, the only blue state where a Republican incumbent is running, that's Senator Lincoln Chafee, and President Bush only has a 22% approval rating there.
Okay, Mara, stick around. We'll talk to you in a little bit. That's NPR's Mara Liasson.
One critical Senate race is in Tennessee. There, Congressman Harold Ford, a Democrat, is running against Republican Bob Corker. The race has been intensely fought as both candidates vie to replace retiring Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. Joining us now is NPR's Scott Horsley, who's covering Bob Corker in his hometown of Chattanooga. Corker served as mayor there. And Scott, you're there in Corker country. What's the mood?
Michelle, I am in Corker country, just a few blocks away from the renovated Chattanooga Choo Choo train depot. And as I talked to voters today, a lot of people were very proud of their mayor, Bob Corker, and the job he did here. But I also heard a lot of voters who were saying we need a change and voicing support for the Democrat, Harold Ford Jr. And that is why this contest has turned out, I think, to be so much closer than was anticipated when the Senate Majority Leader decided to step down.
Corker has spent, as I understand, the most money of any GOP Senate candidate. Did that have something to do with him pulling ahead in some of those later polls going into the election?
It's been a very costly contest all around. $15 million raised by Bob Corker, another $10 million by his opponent. Bob Corker is really counting on turnout in the rural and conservative eastern half of the state, where we had a heavy rainfall today, incidentally. And he was not the first choice of the social conservatives. Many people thought he was really too liberal. And on the other hand, Harold Ford is hard to pigeonhole as a liberal. The saving grace for Bob Corker could be a measure on the ballot here to outlaw gay marriage, which gave social conservatives another reason in Tennessee to turn out.
Thank you, Scott.
My pleasure.
That was NPR's Scott Horsley in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Now to NPR's Audie Cornish. She's with Harold Ford's campaign in Memphis. And Audie, Tennessee is almost like three states in one, three very distinct regions. Where will Harold Ford find his swing voters in this election?
Well, you're exactly right about that. The race can be looked at in the terms of the political geography of the state, with Republican Bob Corker having the advantage in the eastern part of the state in Chattanooga, traditionally more conservative and Republican, and with Harold Ford doing better in some of the western part of the state as a Democrat and being from Memphis. Interestingly enough, Harold Ford's campaign advisor, Tom Lee, told me that they're also looking in the rural areas, and that this is counties there are where the campaign is going to be looking for the returns to see if he makes gains there. And really, the only model to look at in terms of Democrats who have won statewide in the state in the last 15 years would be Governor Phil Bredesen, who is a Democrat. The difference here is that the Ford campaign is taking into account all those rural voters that they need to make inroads in, but they're also looking very closely at the African-American vote, which is very interesting for a campaign that has really stayed away from talking about race specifically.
And just very quickly, Audie, how has turnout been in those key African-American districts in Memphis and other cities?
Well, the campaign's excited because they say, judging from the early vote counts, Tennesseans can vote up to a week early before the election, African Americans are on record to have turnout as high as in past presidential elections. And the campaign says that if people aren't taking into account that high turnout from African American votes, then they're missing the boat on why their campaign will do well.
Thank you, Audie.
Thank you.
That was NPR's Audie Cornish in Memphis, Tennessee.
And now to Missouri, where there is a fierce Senate race. Jim Talent, the Republican incumbent, is facing Democrat Claire McCaskill. And first to NPR's Frank Langfitt, who is at McCaskill headquarters in downtown St. Louis. And Frank, first, what are you hearing about turnout today?
Well, what you've heard so far is that it's very heavy. McCaskill came out and said that she thought it was at presidential levels. And certainly my experience, I was hitting a number of poll places in St. Louis County and out in an exurb, St. Charles County. There were long waits. There were a lot of people going in and out. People were talking, some of the people running the polling booths were talking about numbers in the 50-60%.
What else have you heard about the issues that voters there are particularly caring about this time?
You know, what's really striking about this race is, as you know, a lot of Democrats have been trying to nationalize these congressional and Senate races. They wanted to make it a referendum on Iraq, perhaps a referendum on the president himself. But when you talk to voters here, what constantly comes up is stem cell research. There's an amendment on the ballot today to protect embryonic stem cell research, and more than $30 million has been spent on it. So people are very engaged with this. McCaskill's for it. Talent is against it. Michael J. Fox, his first commercial, the famous commercials that showed him shaking from his Parkinson's, came out here. And so I think what you're seeing is a lot of people really energized from it. The question is, to what degree it'll play in a really, really tight race where a lot of it will come down to turnout and maybe how the last 2% of the voters break.
Okay, thanks. NPR's Frank Langfitt at the headquarters of Claire McCaskill in St. Louis. And now to the Republican side, to NPR's Wade Goodwin, who is at headquarters for Jim Talent, also in St. Louis. And Wade, what are you hearing from folks there?
Well, I mean, everyone's cautiously optimistic. They don't know what to expect. Turnout has been very heavy across the state. It all boils down to the rural voters here. Talent comes from the suburbs of St. Louis. He's not a good old boy. He doesn't have a down-home approach that would make him a natural with Missouri's rural voters. But if Talent is admittedly a bit wonkish, ideologically, he's right there with hardcore conservatives. He's pro-life, he's pro-guns, he's backed the president's handling of the war completely, and he's put a big emphasis on getting federal funding for ethanol production. And Talent is against this very big proposal to amend the Missouri Constitution to support stem cell research. Claire McCaskill was born and raised in rural Missouri, but she's more of a big city Democrat now. She's developed a reputation for fiscal responsibility, so that works with conservatives. She's pro-military, but she's not a big fan of the president's handling of the war. But she is in favor of the stem cell proposal, which is generating a lot of voter interest.
And briefly, Wade, the president was there in Missouri for Jim Talent this weekend. Any sense of how that played out?
Well, I mean, the president is more popular here in Missouri than he is other places, 44% approval rating. So if the president is going to be able to generate any positives, it's going to be here in Missouri.
Okay, thanks. NPR's Wade Goodwin at the headquarters of Senator Jim Talent in St. Louis.
NPR's Ari Shapiro is at Democratic headquarters in Washington. And Ari, there's been reporting from analysts throughout the day saying the Democrats were so overly enthusiastic going into this election that anything other than a blowout might actually seem like a disappointment. What's the mood there right now?
You know, the mood is optimistic, but also I would say exhausted. I overheard two staffers a little earlier this evening. One said to the other, we're almost there. And the other replied, I can taste the beer already. I think there's really a sense that after this ferocious, expensive, drawn-out midterm election, one of the fiercest in recent memory, people are really excited for it to be over. And while the Democrats are optimistic, they're enthusiastic, they hope they may be able to take back the House for the first time in a dozen years, they're also really excited just to be at the finish line.
Are they getting any kind of reports from out in the field? Are they learning anything about turnout in some of those key races?
Well, I think as we've heard from the reporters who we've been talking with already tonight, turnout is high. This is an election that's very important to people. Rahm Emanuel, who is in charge of recruiting Democrats to run for the House and sort of in charge of the effort to take back the House for Democrats, said this evening, "I'd rather be us than them." So, you know, he clearly feels optimistic about this, although in what may be a sign of the Democrats' expectations tonight, it's worth noting that there are two separate parties, one for the Senate, one for the House, in separate ballrooms in the same hotel. Mm-hmm. The House party, where we are, is enormous, with rows of risers, American flags, a huge media presence, and the Senate party is quite a bit smaller.
Thank you, Ari.
You're welcome.
That was NPR's Ari Shapiro in Washington at the Democratic headquarters.